What's up, nerds? I'm Nerd Pastor Nate from Checkpoint Church, the church for nerds, geeks, and gamers, and also your host this week for Bible Thump. Here's where I'm at, folks. Checkpoint had a video recently that did well, like so unbelievably well. I have been up to my eyeballs for the past 2 months in emails, DMs, phone calls, responding to messages nonstop because we've reached people who happen to be super obsessed with a new TV show called Has Been Hotel. And they also are curious about what business a pastor possibly has talking about it. See, the show is a bit shocking. It happens to take place in hell and is about the daughter of Satan seeking redemption for all of hell in a fictionalized and very musical version of the place. And look, I get it. Most content creators that are Christian are only watching the first 3 minutes and giving up on it right away. And the community has been feeling like they have been cast aside without Christians even willing to hear them out. When our video came along and gave the concept of redemption itself some curious breathing room, the community was overjoyed to finally have their voices heard and be given the time of day. Most of our videos out there get like maybe 10 or so comments at best, but this video has well over 1,000. At this point. And given that the internet is the place where it is, my heart skips a beat with every new comment because I'm certain that it's going to be some troll or bully coming to rag on me or the things that I believe. But you know what? Just about every atheist, agnostic, Wicca, has-been hell-loving fan has been downright pleasant. Like I said, they're just excited to be seen by someone who they believe would normally cast them aside. Now, sure, we've gotten some trolls. In that many comments, it's kind of inevitable. But do you know who it is that's trolling us? It's Christians. And this isn't just some one-off situation. In the past 4 years of starting a digital-first church, the truth is that our biggest detractors all along have been the folks that I call siblings in Christ. What's the deal with that? Why are we so filled with vitriol for each other? Why is it that every third Christian I meet on YouTube feels like they are emotionally prepared to be the next Martin Luther and create the Protestant church protesting the Protestants? Now, I'm more immersed in that gatekeeping within the church world because I'm a pastor, but we're certainly no stranger to it in the nerd world. Gatekeeping can be a real issue for us as well. In the tabletop scene, they have a whole pejorative for it, the grognard, a member of the old guard who has trouble adapting to something foreign and new to them. In a real twist of irony, we had someone join our Discord and try to use the term sinner as an ad hominem insult the other day. Is that not hilarious? That's like calling someone a human being or just saying like, hey, you person. I think that the true foundation of this sentiment is somewhere in the midst of our humanity. But the real trouble is that Christians are supposed to rise above that, but we don't, and we haven't since the beginning. Consider the epistle Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. This is one of the letters written to the early church. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, this chapter in particular is talking about a Jewish practice that will make most men squirm in their seats if they think about it too long. But the true summary of the disagreement in the early church is that this is a practice we used to do, that we no longer do, or that we do differently now. In addition to this, some of us have even been taught incorrectly what it even means to call out false teaching. I often find that is where most of the Christian reactionism happens. But the truth is, folks, is that false teaching is not meant to be called out on the public stage. It certainly is not meant to be used to harm someone with our words, let alone is it meant to cause harm to the church. Someone commented the other day on a post that they were told that Jesus said that the church itself would be divided. No, friends, Christ prayed for our unity. And as the letter writer is alluding to, Christ also left us with two commandments that were the sum of all the rest: love God, love neighbor as yourself. Now, why does any of this actually apply here? Well, the truth is that if we spend all of our time biting and devouring one another with our words, then we'll likely end up destroying each other in the process. One of my favorite examples of this happened to me in college. And if you followed my work for a while, you may have already heard this one before. So I was in chapel choir in my undergrad career because I really like to sing and also happened to enjoy time with my theater kid friends when they weren't doing theater productions, and most of them took chapel choir. However, most of them also didn't happen to go to church. And admittedly, for a thing called chapel choir, we did not sing in the church like on Sunday morning as often as we would like. Most of it was Wednesday night, and it'd be before a potluck. And Anyway, Sunday was coming. Easter Sunday, it was going to be a big day. We were going to get together and everybody was going to be there. It was going to be one big, exciting day. And I could not wait for all of my friends that, you know, they may or may not have even been Christian, for them to finally get an experience of the church. A lot of them really hated church or were upset with church or had been hurt with church in the past. And so I felt like it was my obligation in that moment to be like the good Christian and to really welcome them into this space and to try and be super welcoming and bringing them in to the best possible scenario of the church they could experience. However, I forgot something along the way, and that is that I grew up in a very different church context than the one that we were going to be singing in. See, I grew up in the super contemporary church movement. I grew up in a church with a Kaffa gymnatorium, if you know what I'm talking about. It had the basketball goals. It had the big fancy light. It had the drum set, the loud music, the full the full shebang. And it was a big deal. And so I thought that it would be fine if I happened to go beforehand and grab some donuts to bring them to my friends to share with them during the concert, before the concert, just to let them know this is a fun experience. And me personally, look, I speak through food, so I thought that I should show them that I love them with this food. Now, the church we were going to be singing at was a green carpet church, if you know what I mean. This is the kind of church where they voted about that carpet, and they voted long and hard about that carpet, and you better believe that it was not an easy decision, and some people are still upset with it, but the people that love it love that carpet so much that they would just be shocked to the core if a single drop of coffee were to fall on that carpet. And so, not thinking, I brought in my donuts right above the green carpet, and a little old church lady came up to me and just absolutely tore me a new one. Now, for me, I've been yelled at by church ladies before. It was no big deal. It was a little bit embarrassing for it to happen in front of my friends, but I kind of let it go off my shoulders. However, in conversations after the fact with my friends, I realized that it wasn't me that should have been embarrassed at all. It was the church that should have been embarrassed in that moment, because my friends, who may or may not have had a moment of transcendent acceptance of being welcome in a community like the church, well, they saw that even one of their own, a golden boy going into the ministry, well, even he could be yelled at by the members of the church. Even he was not safe from the church consuming itself with anger and aggression towards one another. See, it's the same situation that happened in those comments in the YouTube video. Because of our hubris, our lack of understanding about how to even handle Christian dispute, our worship of place and things that we think stack up against loving God and loving neighbor, all of these things wound up proving to the folks who need to hear about the love of Jesus the most, they got to hear that the church may or may not even have the love of Jesus within its people. I'm reminded of the writing of C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, when Uncle Screwtape tells young Wormwood that there are times when the evil forces that we're so afraid of don't even need to get involved, because we'll destroy ourselves soon enough if we're left alone to our own devices. Human beings are naturally wont to self-sabotage. Ask any parent. I keep my daughters from running Wile E. Coyote style off of a cliff at least 10 times a day. But here's the thing. I know. I've offered a lot of what not to do here. What should we actually do? What should we be doing in the face of all this? Here's one. Love your neighbor. Better yet, find a framework that helps you remember to do that exactly. In Checkpoint, we have three simple rules based off of the general rules of John Wesley. We don't ask much of our members. Just do good, do no harm, and strive to grow. Do good, do no harm, strive to grow. See, just by having that simple framework that is very deep but not very wide is going to help everybody take stock of what needs to be done when we're faced with an uncomfortable situation. If you don't even know a person, their comment section is probably not the best place for a call out or a come to Jesus. Get to know them, learn about them, love them, and then, and only then, if you still think something needs to be said, say it to them in private. If they won't hear it, bring a leader and raise the issue again. Then bring it before the whole church. And if they still won't change or hear you out, there might be a need to part ways. That is the Matthew chapter 18 standard. Imagine the devotion of one's time there. Three whole conversations over an issue, not to mention the time it would take to form the relationship in the first place. That's devotion to a person. That's love for a fellow human being right there. That is your neighbor. We've gotten too busy calling out people that we've never even met when our time is so much better spent sharing the love of Jesus with those that need to hear it. What happens when we're actually willing to do that? Well, look around you. Things like love thy nerd happen. Not everyone in this space ascribes to the exact same belief system, and that is the whole beauty of the thing. Nothing brings me as much joy than seeing people in a Discord server willing to humbly deign to the nerdy wisdom of another. Hey friend, I know nothing about Doctor Who. I would love to hear all about your favorite Doctor Who quotes. I would love to hear about why Fill in the Blank Companion is the best. I love it. I love seeing a band of goofy friends hop into a game like Helldivers 2 and all work towards the same cause for democracy, setting down expectations to get good and instead just be good in a squad together. I literally had no place to ever talk about my own personal passionate obsession with Danganronpa before I found my people on the internet. Then along comes Checkpoint, and do they like Danganronpa? No, but they love me, and they're fine with hearing about my expansive love of all things visual novel, indie game, and farming sim. Why? Because love your neighbor. This world can be a toxic place, but it can also just as quickly be rid of that toxicity, starting with you. That's the best part of it all. You'd be amazed at the people that are just watching and waiting for you to give them permission to be their nerdy self. Open that door. Be prepared for a slew of folks who can't wait to be your friend and you theirs. The church is way too good at keeping people out. But we've been taught from the very beginning that we are called to let people in with the never-ending love of Jesus. So let those donuts in your church building. You might discover they aren't as bad on your carpets as you might have feared. And they're tasty too. Don't eat people like donuts. That's a bad connection, but you get the idea. With that, I do want to thank you for allowing me this time and let you know that if you want more of this kind of content, Checkpoint does have a weekly nerdy sermon that drops every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'd love to have you there for more conversations like this one, where we explore anime, video games, things that come out every week in a scripture and tie them both together. In closing, folks, I have been Nerd Pastor Nate. I want to thank you for joining me this week for Bible Thump. Be sure to join us for the next one. Click that beautiful like button or subscribe if you haven't already. And until next time, we love you, you matter, and of course, Jesus loves you, nerds.